Hello, everybody, and welcome into what will be the final edition of Weekly with Wheatley here in the 2023 season. I'm your host, Brady Beaton. As always, joined by head ball coach Tyrone Wheatley. A happy Coach Wheatley coming off a win at Northern Michigan. Thanks for being here.
Man, it's over already, huh? Thank you.
I know. With the four home games in a row, it felt like we had a ton to work with, and now last one, senior day coming up. We'll, again, talk about that in the final segment. But let's talk about the win up at Northern Michigan. First half wasn't pretty, and it just had to get to halftime. But once you came out of the half, you guys dominated that football game in that third and fourth quarter. Northern couldn't do anything. You felt like you were moving the ball at will. What was the difference between half number one and half number two?
Just the adjustments, really. The players, as we talked about, they're growing as the season goes. Mm-hmm. And the adjustments at halftime was a lot easier, a lot smoother. They were communicating with us more so than we were communicating with them. And so they felt in a rhythm. You know, when they felt like they were in a rhythm, they were able to come back out and they saw the game as we saw it. And then so that's what kind of opened up things in the second half.
I should say the defense played pretty well the whole game. Outside of that one, really one big play where I think a linebacker had a misread and it was out the gate. Besides that, the defense was very stout. They actually scored you some points in the first half. When you look back, who played well defensively? Who made that happen on the defensive side of the ball?
Well, Drake Reed, you know, our captain, you know, all captains should play like captains, and he played. He had the interception. Wish he would have scored on that one. That's kind of teased him, running like he had lead feet, but that was pretty good. Then, like, as you talked about, the safety with Mr. Davis there, number 45, who got the safety for us, who really sparked that thing, sparked the downhill tumble for Northern. But the defensive line played well. I think we just go back to complimentary defense. Mm. There's so many names that play well, don't want to forget anybody. Mm. But those guys, they played, and we gave them a chance. And when you say we, meaning the defensive and offensive staff, told those guys just keep it simple, keep everything in front of you, bend but don't break.
Offensively in the second half, you got a few scores through the air. You know, I know Coach DeMasi and yourself want to run the football. You want to be ground and pound, but hit a few home runs over the top. What was that like getting a young player in Justin Cox more acclimated to the game? Obviously, he still had a few mistakes, but what'd you like from him? And you obviously felt comfortable taking some downfield shots with him.
Well, it goes back to, like we talked about, the halftime adjustments. Mm-hmm. When you can speak to a player and he sees it, he can, you know, actually see what you're talking about, embody the play that's coming into it, but just turn around and visually just see it in his head. And those plays are easy to make now, right? You come back out and you say, okay, now he sees the safety's rolling down. Or when the backer's, you know, playing the run, you can hit the seams. So he played a really good game in that way.
Let's talk about him for a second, because we mentioned it when we did the pregame interview, I think, for last week. But for people that tuning in here or at the games live didn't get to hear it, he's a player that is processing things very quickly. He doesn't act like a freshman upstairs, that he understands what he's doing. The mental side of his game is very strong. What do you see in the film room with him that he's been able to hit the ground running, take everything in stride?
Well, he still, like you said, he still has some freshman errors. But I think what he benefited from, as we talked about this earlier, what he really benefited from was watching the other mistakes of the other quarterbacks and also seeing some good things from the other quarterbacks.
Right.
So when you get a chance to see those things, you get a chance to take those mentally and process it and stick it in your head, right? And so now when it's your turn, you remember those things. And then as we talk about the proverbial bullets start flying, you don't panic under pressure.
I think we'd be remiss if we didn't bring up Kendall Williams. He had a really nice game on the ground. You could tell he was one broken tackle away, and then those holes opened up and he didn't miss them. Got to be nice having a running back like him back there and an offensive lineman that was opening up holes for him.
Well, when you stay consistent, right, like you say, those 2-3-4, 2-3-4, just an inch from breaking it, now all of a sudden you get a chance to make the adjustment. He gets a chance to see it. And so what I mean by seeing it is the adjustment by the offensive line, we say stay consistent. Don't try and adjust it. The back will adjust, and we'll run off the cuts. And he did a great job of pressing the line of scrimmage, bringing the linebackers up so we could get the double team off to the second level, and that's where we got those things going. And they were doing it, you know, Northern did a great job of keeping their safeties in there. Then when we backed them off, when we hit those two touchdowns, which backed them off a little bit, and then they was able to crease them.
You always say you want to keep the message the same, that you're not going to waver off the message. Now that you're getting near the end of your first season. Are you starting to see that come to fruition, especially in the second half of that game, where things that you've been trying to drill into players' heads are finally starting to show up on the football field?
Absolutely. And one of the big things we talk about is what?
Competitive stamina.
Competitive stamina. And you're seeing them grow. You're seeing them mature in that way. And now you're seeing them be stout with their competitive stamina. As, you know, going into that game against Northern Michigan, like you said, we came out a little slow. They went in the locker room, and you could see it in their eyes this game that it wasn't a down look. It wasn't a I'm going to press. It was just like, hey, we've been here before. This is what we've worked for. Everybody worked for this. Let's go ahead and do it. And they went out, and they played great. And so that's one thing that, you know, you're going to continue to message on. The next message is just physicality, right? Football is a physical game. Mm-hmm. You know, it's I know a lot of people say it's finesse and you spread it out, but at some point in time, you're going to be face-to-face with another individual, and you're going to have to move that individual, right, whether he wants to be moved or not, right? So it's still a physical football. It's and the thing of that nature is these guys are really buying into it, and they really love it.
Got a win on the road. That's something where Wayne State struggled on the last couple of years. It had been about two calendar years since Wayne State had gone to someone else's campus and got a win. What was it like for the guys in the locker room afterwards, especially in a come-from-behind victory, to have to go up to the Superior Dome, an odd place to play, and get a win away from your home turf?
Well, I mean that's a lot to unravel and unpack, but we spoke about the long bus ride up there. As you talked about, not having a win on the road for over 2 years. And then for us, was trying to even a score, meaning a series with Northern Michigan. They had us up 8-9, and so we wanted to get the series even with them 9-9 and then hopefully take over in the future. So there was a lot riding on this. And we wanted to sing the fight song in their locker room, you know, as we kind of say, stake the flag, right?
Right.
And so all that felt good. And it goes back to now feeling that high, riding that high, and taking it into this week.
How important is it to get that feeling just so that everyone that comes back next year understands, all right, this is what you have to do on the road. This is how you, for lack of a better cliche, learn how to win on the road. How important is that to build on the foundation, not just for the last couple games of this year, but going into the next year and beyond?
Oh, it's huge. It is huge because we talked about this today after practice, right? We talked about learning how to win on the road, and then those games, like every game is quote-unquote a big game. Mm-hmm. Well, when you become the top team or the cream of the crop, right, every game is going to be a big game. So you have to learn how to play on the road because those are big games. Mm-hmm. You have to learn how to protect your house. That's a big game, right? You have to play against your rivals. That's a big game. And even if you play against teams that's not your rival or maybe that's a little lesser than you, they're going to give you their best game, so you're going to have to play your best game. So we're getting the guys to understand that right now you have to be able to understand every game here forth is going to be a big game.
Well, I know a lot of the players had made the trip to the UP, but for a lot of you and your staff, you have never really been up to Marquette and made that long bus ride. What was that like? Because I know for the Warrior faithful that have made it before, it's not a short one, and you spend just about as much time in the UP as you do getting up to the bridge. What was that like? I know we're going to talk to Coach Collins, talk about him enjoying that long bus ride, but how was the trip up to Marquette?
Maybe if I was in a car or, you know, a toboggan, something other than a bus, you know, squished up. But the physical ride wasn't pleasant, but actual scenery was beautiful. It was a great ride.
And I know it's a lot easier coming back from the UP talking from experience when you get a win and you have 6.5-7 hours on a bus after a win compared to that somber, quiet bus ride after a loss.
Yeah, emotionally you're happy, but once again, physically, you know, not it still scrunched up in the bus seats, but it was great to hear the guys laugh, talk, joke, and talk about the game, you know, the various high points in the game for each player. Just listening to them in the back of the bus, it was good to hear that.
Final question about Northern Michigan. How was it on Sunday coming back in, watching the film? I guess kind of build off an earlier question. Do you see the guys starting to get it, and now you can point to them on film going, you see, you did this where 3 weeks ago you didn't, and we made the play because of it, and just build off of the message you've been preaching all year?
Absolutely. Not only does the coaches do it, they're starting to do it with each other, right? They're starting to now learn and speak to one another about standing on top of the playbook, you know, stand on top of the game, and now the plays we didn't make, you know, in previous 10 games, now they're starting to make them. So it is an absolute must, right, that we continue to do that. But it's great to hear the players and the coaches seeing the things that we've progressed on.
All right, Coach, appreciate it again. Congratulations on the win up at Northern Michigan. We'll bring on Coach Collins in a minute when we're back with Weekly with Wheatley live from Woodbridge Pub. Welcome back to Weekly with Wheatley. I'm your host, Brady Beaton, joined with the final assistant coach of the year, wide receiver coach Ed Collins. Coach, thanks so much for taking some time to join us.
What's up? What's going on? How you doing?
So as I start off with every assistant coach, just so the Warrior faithful out there can get to know who's coaching their team, just tell us your story, where you played, where you grew up, and how you got here to Wayne State.
Okay, so obviously for starters, I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, born and raised, lived there my entire life until April when I moved up here. Played college ball at Georgia Southern University with our offensive coordinator, Russell DeMasi. So that was kind of my connection to landing this spot up here. So Russell, he was 2 or 3 years older than I am. So when I got to Georgia Southern, he was like already established, this, that, and the third. And he was just a guy that I was able to cling to just like kind of a connection to college football. And I was coaching high school ball back home in Atlanta for the last 5 years at some pretty good programs back in Atlanta. And so that's kind of where I got my start. And then linked up with Russell. He was able to get the job here. They let him bring his own staff in, and that's how I got up here.
So you played with him at Georgia Southern.
Yep.
Receiver at... So what's it like being a receiver in this offense? Because a lot of people look at it and go, all right, it's a running back's dream, but the receiver's going to have to make the most of your targets because it's not going to be the air raid. It's not a Mike Leach system where you're getting the ball thrown 50, 60 times. So talking from experience, what's it like being a receiver in such a run-heavy system?
It is it's a lot of thankless work, honestly. I mean – The challenges that the receivers in this offense face, very similar to how it was at Georgia Southern. I mean, at Georgia Southern, we were a team that played the University of Florida in 2013 and beat them at Florida and didn't throw a pass, didn't throw a single pass. So it's crazy. It's a crazy stat if you look it up. But it is one of the challenges that comes with coaching receivers in this style of offense. But Keeping the guys in it really is that's the key thing. If you keep them in it, they'll enjoy it for what it is, and they see value in what they do bring to the offense. And it was something that, you know, my coaches had to kind of instill in me when I was in college. And, you know, obviously as a 18-year-old, 19-year-old kid, you want to be out there catching a lot of passes, doing your thing. That's you know, great and all that. But in this offense, that's just not – what you're called on to do a majority of the time. So like you said, you got to seize your opportunities when they come.
Well, let's talk about the transition from basically being down in Georgia your whole life, coming up into Michigan to Detroit. First, what did you know, if anything, about Wayne State before you came up here? And two, how has the transition been, especially now that we're getting into the colder time of the year?
So what did I know about Wayne State before coming up here? Very little. I had seen the logo before, the W logo. Didn't know necessarily what school that logo belonged to. I just remember seeing the logo. And after I, you know, was proposed the job by Russell, I started doing my research on it and this, that, the third. And I did become very familiar with it at a point. But then the transition to moving up here, you know, I left Atlanta at the very end of March to come up here, and I think the day that I left, it was 77, 78 degrees in Atlanta. And when I got here, it had just snowed like 2 days before. So it was a little bit, didn't own a jacket, own a couple now. the biggest part of the adjustment was the weather. I'll say that for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
What is some of the, I guess, differences or similarities being from Atlanta now coming up to Detroit, two big cities? Is it a similar time here, or is there some big differences you've noticed?
I do think there's there's a big difference. I mean, the traffic in Atlanta is obviously a lot worse, but there's some similarities as well. I mean, they're both big cities, like you said, but I do think that Atlanta, the way that it's set up is a little different. The structure is a little different. And the surrounding areas, I mean, there's some differences. There's also some similarities. But, I mean, I've loved my time in Detroit so far. I've got no – it's what's weird is, like, when you grow up in Atlanta, you don't really hear that many positive things about Detroit.
Right.
You move here and you realize this place has a whole lot to offer.
Well, I kind of have a similar story. I mean, I'm from Michigan, but going through high school, it was like, you don't want to really go to school in Detroit.
Right.
And then you get down on campus and you get around and you go, okay, this isn't the K or the disaster people make it out to be when you get in. When you're recruiting, because this is something a challenge people have you noticed that when maybe kids that are further away from the city might have this negative connotation of it, but when you get them on campus, it changes their view a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. Most recently was recruiting a kid from, he's from like right outside of Chicago. He had never been to Detroit. We brought him here on a visit, and he saw our proximity to the downtown area,
right,
and the river and all that has to offer down there. And it kind of opened his eyes. You could kind of see it change. And we ended up landing him. He's here now. And he loves it. I mean, and it's just one of those things where I think if you have to come here to realize how great it really is.
It is a city, and going to college, maybe not just for Wayne State, but in any major city, you have to be a little willing to roll with the punches a little bit. I don't think anyone would sit here and say it's perfect, but it's a lot better than people say it is.
Definitely.
But you kind of have to get the right kid to come to Detroit and get them to be able to embrace the blue-collar mentality.
Exactly, and it is a very blue-collar mentality, and I think that's a quality that we want our football to have as well. Blue-collar team, works hard, comes to work, ready to go every single day. And I just, like you said, I mean, I think that once you get the kid here, I think that's the biggest part of the challenge, is getting them to get here. And once they get here, I haven't heard anybody say anything negative about the place, honestly.
So blue-collar mentality is something that's usually not, or at least traditionally, not associated with the wide receiver position. And that's kind of the mentality you have to have in this offense, going back to what you said at the start of the segment of you're going to be blocking a lot. You might only get a couple balls thrown your way in a game. How is a wide receiver coach, one, do you find the right kid for that spot, and two, try to, I guess, change their expectations and their outlook on a football field for the wide receiver position?
So the thing is, I think the biggest challenge is finding guys who are willing blockers.
Mm-hmm.
Blocking is something that, you know, it's mainly about effort and how much you care about your teammates, right? So I kind of would pitch it to them that way, but also letting them know that, you know, if you work hard and you block your tail off, that opens up the run game. We open up the run game, that opens up the pass game.
Right.
So when the defense is focused on the run, that's when we take our shots and we get our opportunity to shine. And, you know, last Saturday was another example of, you know, we're pounding it, then we throw one over the top to Deion Brown and he makes a play. So
with the wide receiver position, what's one thing that maybe the general public or the average fan thinks they know or doesn't understand about the position that you don't really get until you've coached it or played it at a really high level?
I would say it's got to be catching balls in traffic. I think that a lot of people are a little harsher on receivers in a lot of cases than they should be. It's like some of the plays that you're called on to make are tougher than they look. I'll say that. And obviously in the pros, the top dogs in the professional league, they make it look easy. But outside of them, you can tell it's a hard job for sure.
And just how much it stings when that linebacker comes up and gets the good stick on you.
Exactly.
They'll say, oh, you just got to stand in there and be tough, but take a few shots. It's a little easier said than done.
Way easier said than done. Until you take one, I'd probably hold back the judgment.
So I asked Coach Wheatley this, and I'll ask you this too. Coming back from Northern Michigan, basically the whole offensive staff's from Georgia. I don't think any of them have ever been to the Upper Peninsula. What was that experience like, and did you know you could be on a bus for 7 hours in Michigan and not leave the state?
It was actually 8 hours.
well, when you go over the bridge a couple times.
Yeah, we crossed the bridge more than we needed to. But the trip was – I mean, there were – to be honest, I slept for a couple hours, got a good nap in. But the parts that I was awake for, you could definitely tell, like, especially at this time of year where the leaves are changing, leaves are falling, they're brown, orange, yellow, and all those colors. Like, it's a beautiful area for sure. And the way that the – once we finally got up there, the way that school is situated right on Lake Superior is kind of crazy to me. It was a great trip, though, very scenic.
The Superior Dome is very unique, not just for the GLIAC and D2, but for all college football.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, again, if you haven't been there, the turf is basically carpet. You can't have big spikes. There will be 1,000 people in there, and it'll sound like there's 20,000. You can't hear anything. What was that experience like? Try to explain to the people at home what it's like coaching in that dome. And I say it looks like an evil lair. It looks like it should sink into Lake Superior.
Yeah.
It is one of the most unique venues in the country.
Yeah, no, for sure. It was just seeing it for the first time. I didn't know that it looked like that. I had never been there before, obviously. I didn't know that it looked like that. It looks like some type of something that you can shoot into outer space. It was kind of cool looking, for sure. But the way that it's set up, the band was right behind our bench. So
I think that might have been intentional.
I got the headset on. I'm trying to get calls back and forth, communicate from the offensive coordinator, and then signal them out to the field because I'm the signaler. And it was a challenge for sure. They're playing the music like right. It sounds like they're like 2 feet behind you, blowing a trumpet in your ear at full volume. And so created a little bit of a challenge at first. And I think after the first quarter, I kind of settled in and was able to block it out. But the way that it's set up, the sound just kind of like reverberates. It's way louder in there than the number of people that are in there. When I was in college, Georgia Southern, we played North Dakota State at the Fargo Dome, so similar situation.
Right. All right, Coach, final question for you. Is there anything else that you want to share with the Warrior fans out there? Anything else they should know about you? Any fun facts?
Fun facts. I haven't found the best restaurant in Detroit yet, so if anybody's got any
So that's still up for debate?
Yeah, for sure. Right. For sure. Definitely up for debate. So I'm looking for that.
All right, Coach. Well, I appreciate it. Thank you so much, and good luck on Saturday.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
He's Coach Ed Collins. I'm Brady Beaton, and we'll be back with more Weekly with Wheatley live from Woodbridge Pub. Welcome back to the final segment of Weekly with Wheatley. Brady Beaton, head coach Tyrone Wheatley along with me. And, well, let's get right to it. Next couple of weeks, you're going to have some pretty darn good football teams across the sideline for you. Start this week, Grand Valley comes to town, senior night. Let's talk about senior night first before we get into the nuts and bolts of the football game. How important is it to give the seniors their moment and then the celebration of what has been a very odd 4 or 5 years? And you went from a COVID non-season through a coaching transition. They stuck it out. How important is it to honor the guys that have stuck it out and went through the whole rigmarole the last 5 years?
Well, you know, they were the glue that bond this book together, right? And they get a chance to write the final chapter, and it's really good to celebrate these guys, right? They've done everything I've asked them to do. They've stood and, like you say, gritted out, and it's just going to be good to see them. Wish you could send them out on a better note, but it's going to be good to see them walk across that field one last time.
I'll tell you what, a senior day victory against Grand Valley, maybe the season's not the best note, but that's a heck of a way to send them out against a rival win a trophy on their final home game. That wouldn't be a bad way to end your career.
Hey, man, end your career with the wooden shoes, that'd be great.
All right, but as I mentioned, Grand Valley, very, very talented team. They have played pretty well. They only have one loss this year. I believe the current number one team in the country that was on the road by 3 points. When you look at this Grand Valley team, what do you see?
Well, like you said, talented, right? Not only are they talented, they're big. I know over the past weeks we said the carbon copy of what I think. This is not the carbon copy, right? This is the top of the page. They're big, they're strong, they're fast. They play well together. And it's the reason why they're number one. But that program has had years and years and years to get it to where it's at right now. They don't rebuild, they just reload. But they're very beatable.
I know looking at their team, they have some pretty really talented offensive linemen. Quarterback seems to make the right play every single time. And sometimes they just say, all right, our athletes are better than your athletes, let's go make a play. Schematically, what do you see from Grand Valley?
Schematically, you're going to see a lot of gap scheme, right? A lot of gap scheme, pin and pull, outside zone. They want to try and get outside you, but they're going to set it up with the inside zone. I mean, inside zone and gap scheme with the quarterback run as well. They do an excellent job with that. Like you said, the big offensive linemen, it's a big fight. Mm-hmm. It's body blow after body blow to wear you down. You know, fourth quarter, they're going to hit you with some passes up top. Defensively, they're going to give you – I mean, they do a great job of mixing their fronts and coverages. I mean, they do a great job of just playing sound football from various fronts. And it's kind of – it's not a dollar defense. And what I mean by dollar defense is just, hey, we're just going to run anything and hope right. It goes this way. They do it with a purpose. And so you study them 1 week, they'll give you one front. The next week they come back, they'll give you one another. So they might jump into an odd. But the odd ultimately plays like a bare front up front. Mm. So if you can get those keys and get those cues and not get confused with them, they'll be okay. They also, those big defensive linemen, they do a really good job of movement.
You know, talking to some other coaches in the building earlier in the week, when they were talking about it, they said, well, we can't just prepare like, all right, well, if they do this, we'll do that, because they have a bunch of different things they can do. And then even if they do make a mistake, a lot of guys on the back end are athletic and talented enough that they can be those erasers that you don't realize that maybe the front seven made a mistake.
No, you're definitely right. But at the same time, when they do make the mistakes, we have to capitalize mm-hmm. on them. And we also... You know, like you say, you can't prepare for them, but you can.
Right.
And how you prepare for them is just playing your brand of football and don't make many mistakes and just push forward. You have to attack this team. If you sit back, you're sitting duck. You have to attack.
Talk about getting the mental side prepared, because I know I've been on teams where sometimes you play the best team or a number one ranked team, top ranked team, and you're scared to make a mistake because you know you're going to have to play a really good game, and Wayne State will have to play a very good game if they want to win this one. But on the same token, Grand Valley's going to make a play. Hey, they will probably score a touchdown. They will probably get a sack. They will probably do something well. How do you find the laser focus, knowing that you have to play well, but not hang your head and go, uh-oh, when the first mistake happens?
Well, we said it every week, right? Mm-hmm. They're on scholarship. Mm-hmm. So even though it's Grand Valley, you still have to play a faceless opponent. Mm-hmm. Right? And what I mean by a faceless opponent, yeah, they're Grand Valley, but forget it. We go out and play our ball. If they go out and make a touchdown, if they make a play, we have to come back. We have to bounce back. So when you talk about laser focus, that's with every week. That's every week. And so now we must remove the face of Grand Valley and just say, hey, this is just an opponent, and we got to go out and play.
Coach, last thing we'll talk about the Grand Valley, then just some general things from the season to wrap everything up. What are the keys going to be to beat a very talented Laker team coming into town?
Stop the run. We got to stop the run. I think if you stop that run and get the quarterback to throw the ball, things will open up. But we must stop the run. We can't open up the floodgates and let them run the ball. Offensively, move the ball, secure the ball, score points.
All right, Coach, I know the season isn't over, but this is the last time we'll talk, last time you'll get to kind of talk to the Warrior fans directly. I don't want to say a season in review, but I guess the first 9 weeks or so in review, coming through your first year, where do you feel like your team's at now compared to where you were day one of camp? And are you moving in the right direction? Are you starting to figure out what guys you can build around going into these final two games and beyond?
Well, yeah, definitely. I mean, the team has made serious strides from, you know, the first day of camp to now. And where those strides were made were, like we said, the guys are starting to settle in and understand that you don't need a lot, right? It's always that little thing, see a little, then you see a lot. It's the same thing. We don't need a lot, right? You just have to go out, understand your job, know your job, and do your job. That's it. Because football, and I've said this before, you don't have to go make a play. Football will find you. And when it finds you, you be ready for it, right? So when the game time comes around and that situation hits you, you have to be ready, and you got to be ready to take it instead of going out looking for it. And I think what happened in the beginning was guys were going out looking for it, doing too much, just doing way too much and not trying to do everybody else's job. We've done that. We simplified things for them, and they've calmed down their plan. The second place where they've done a better job is the empathy. I don't know, this sounds a little crazy, but the empathy, right? The guys are playing for one another now. They don't want to mess up to hurt their teammate.
Right.
Whereas before, it's I'm going to make the play. I'm going to me. Now it's like, hey, I don't want to screw up because of my teammate. And I think for me, the biggest and the longest stride we've made in the season is they're becoming smarter football players. They're understanding situations. And And right now they're getting to that point where if they make a mistake in practice, they'll turn around and they'll look at you and say, I know, yep. I got it, I can correct it. And that's the growth. Whereas before they'll make a mistake and they'll look at you like, and my biggest pet peeve was, don't give me palms up. They always give me the, what do you mean? What's going on, right? But now it's kind of like they'll turn and look at you like, I know what I did wrong. And those were the huge strides. In terms of moving forward, yes, I have a really good group of guys to move forward with that's going to help me set the culture and build the culture for years to come.
Give the fans just an idea of what the timeline will look like after the season's over because, I mean, up until the last few years, it was, all right, season's done, guys go home for a little bit. I know I'll have the 80-some guys that aren't seniors coming back. But with that, when can fans expect to see news on the transfer portal, things like that, whether a guy leaves, guy comes in, and just getting ready for the off season and moving into the winter training? What's that timeline just generally look like for not just you but all of college football?
Well, right now, once the season's over, we'll give the players off. The coaches will take a brief break, kind of breathe and relax and refocus. And then after that, we'll get back into recruiting the high school kids and the mid-year guys. Hopefully, we'll have about 5 to 10 mid-year guys coming in. When we say mid-year, that's either, you know, transfers or JC guys. Mm-hmm. Coming in before the start. I think classes start January 8th. Mm-hmm. So hopefully, we'll have those guys in January 8th. We'll move into our winter conditioning program, get the guys bigger, stronger, faster, get them ready for spring. And then after spring football, which I think the spring game will kind of tentatively set for like April 13th. Then after that, you'll move back into looking at more guys in the transfer portal and see what's the best fit for us.
How much different is it now that you have to you know when you have a guy, it's not like when you played where, hey, once you go somewhere – You're, for better or worse, you're kind of stuck there. You have to ride it out. Now that there's a lot more moving parts, what is that challenge like for you going into your first full off season?
I don't really think it's a challenge. I think you just have to adjust, right? Mm-hmm. I think like anything else, you just make the adjustment and it becomes the new norm. If there was a challenge, would be just trying to get the film mm-hmm. of the player that you're trying to get. So if it's a guy Eastern Kentucky. Just trying to get all the film because once that kid, young man, I keep calling him kids, once that young man hits the transfer portal, teams are shutting down that huddle and those links. And so there are software out there that you can purchase to get it, and we're going to get in that moment. But it's just trying to watch the film and getting all the information that you need on the young man that's coming in because, for me, it's more so of a fit than talent, right? So he has to be able to fit into our scheme, fit into the culture and fit what we want, the brand of football that we want to play, as opposed to just bringing somebody in who's a super talented guy, but it's like oil to our water.
Coach, last question for 2023. What are the parting words for the Wayne State Warrior fans out there, for the students, for the alumni, for everyone that's come to Tom Adams Field? I'll give you the last word for Weekly with Wheatley in 2023.
Well, listen, I truly appreciate everybody's support coming out to support us and, cheering. Mm-hmm. And you guys got off season as well, so I'm looking forward to seeing you in 24.
All right, Coach, well, I appreciate it. Thank you for joining us all year, and good luck in the final two games.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
He's head coach Tyrone Wheatley. I'm Brady Beaton. Thanks again to Woodbridge Pub for hosting us all year long. For the final time, we'll see you from Weekly with Wheatley. Be back in 2024.